The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Well, I'm excited about our Bible study tonight, and what we've been doing during the year 2013 on the Wednesday night services is having a different theme every month. And our theme this month has been biblical principles, and it's been a blessing for me to hear from some of our own staff the last few weeks. Brother Chapel brought a message for us on the real biblical meaning of greatness, and it was a blessing. Tonight, I'm looking forward to this message on biblical principles for communication from really, I think, one of our newest leadership team members here at Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. And I'm already thankful to the Lord. I was before he came, but I'm even more so now that Dr. Shetler is here. Dr. Jim Shetler has many years of pastoral experience and preaching and teaching experience, and he came to be one of our college vice presidents, but made it very clear that he wanted to get fully involved in the local New Testament church, which thrills me, and it's a blessing and a help to me, and I know that he'll be a blessing to us tonight. So Brother Shetler, come and bring our Bible study for us tonight.
It really is amazing how quickly we have been able to make this home. We have a family from Santa Maria with us tonight, one of our former families, and they're bringing their daughter down to sign up for West Coast, and we're thankful for that. Good to see the Canadas with us tonight as well. But I will tell you, when Marilee and I came down here, we really had a lot of strong ties with Santa Maria, and still do, and we just thought, well, it's going to take a long time to really feel like this is home. And I want you to know, I have truly... our family has been so blessed in just the weeks that we've been here, and the love and the friendships and the relationships that we have already built. Last week, I was not able to be here. I had to leave my home in Lancaster, and I had to go to Hawaii for a week. And I had to preach in Hawaii, and we were right there on the beach. I was staying right in a camp. It was just absolutely gorgeous. But I got to tell you, I mean, I missed the wind and the dust here. I really did. The only thing that has surprised me is the name of the college. You see, I always thought that WCBC stood for West Coast Baptist College, but I've learned now it's Windy Conditions Baptist College, and I didn't know that beforehand, but we have thoroughly enjoyed our time here today. You know, when I lived in Pensacola, they used to say, you get the sand in your shoes, you'll stay here forever. Well, here you get the sand in your pockets, and you'll stay forever. All right. I hope you got your handouts tonight. We're going to look at, you know, when Pastor told me that the theme in May was principles, I said, okay, which principles are we talking about? What are we going to? He said principles, and I said, well, that kind of leaves it kind of open. So I want to talk to you tonight about five basic biblical communication principles. I mean, these are, to me, some of the basics in communication, and they are all principles from God's Word, and they will all be found in Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4, there is a great passage at the end of the chapter on communication, and there are some basic principles on communication that I think will help you the rest of your life. You know, I heard a story once about a king who sent out two of his servants. He sent out one of his servants to find that which was the greatest, most beautiful, healthiest thing in the world. The most glorious, the most beautiful, the greatest thing in the entire world. The most beautiful, glorious thing. Servant, find it. Bring it back. He told another servant to go out and find the most evil, the most wicked, the most terrible thing on planet Earth and bring it back. So after several months, both servants returned. The one servant, there was great anticipation in the court that day as the one servant brought in a box. And he unveiled the most glorious, beautiful thing in all of the world. And in that box, he had a human tongue. He said the human tongue can encourage give life and blessing like no other. He looked over at the other servant, and as the other servant came, he kind of looked over at the one servant and kind of smirked, and he opened up the thing that was the worst, the most evil, the most terrible thing on planet Earth. And you probably guessed already, it was a human tongue. You know, in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It is amazing, the power of the tongue, what it can do to encourage and what it can do to destroy. By the way, members of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me tell you something. In a couple weeks, there'll be some pastors, and I can remember when I was one of them, some pastors that will be coming to this conference. And I will tell you, some of them are close to throwing in the towel. Some of them, this conference, unless something happens in their life, they may say, you know, the minister, I'm done. Or I'm going to leave where I am, or whatever it might be. And I want to encourage you, do you know that a member of Lancaster Baptist Church Sunday may sit next to a pastor and his wife, a pastor and his staff, maybe a youth pastor that just needs a word of encouragement? And more than any workshop, maybe more than any general session, that a member of Lancaster Baptist Church would encourage that pastor. Hey, let's just pray for the week for you. Let's just do that. It is amazing. And by the way, the other is true too. You could say something in a critical manner towards the church or whatever it might be that would so hurt this visiting person, this visiting pastor, that they'd say, you know what, the ministry isn't worth it. It doesn't matter where you are. It's not worth it. So you know what? I think all of us need to realize the power we have in communication. Now look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. The Bible says this: wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Communication is absolutely key. Would you join me in a word of prayer tonight? You know, I heard it said once, it did not come from my mouth, but I heard it said once, the easiest thing in all the world to do is talk, and the hardest thing in all the world to do is communicate. I want to give you five biblical principles tonight on how your communication can be effective for the Lord. And the Lord's given us a great passage. Would you ask the Lord to speak to your heart tonight? This would be a message on instruction in righteousness. Not going to be a lot of doctrine, probably not too much reproof or even correction, but tonight will be instruction in righteousness. And all these messages, we cannot be hearers only. We've got to be doers of messages of instruction and righteousness. Let's go to the Lord and ask Him to help us. Father, we do believe that no matter who we are, there is power in our tongue. And we want to be able to be the most effective communicators for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a message. We have an answer. Help us know how to communicate it. And Father, I pray that we would take your word tonight. We would take the very simple principles that are found, and may every one of us, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our family, whether it's at work, in our ministry, in our church, in our community, wherever we may be more effective communicators because of your word and applying it to our life tonight. May we have an understanding, and then, Lord, give us the spirit. Speak to our conscience tonight that we would say, I need this in my life. I need to start speaking that way. And God, may we apply what we hear tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's look at tonight, communication, five basic principles of communication. Principle number one, be honest. Be honest. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Honesty is the foundation to all communication. If you are not exchanging true information, ideas, or thoughts, there cannot be the proper receiving by the listener. By the way, the foundation to revival is also honesty. When a group of people, when an individual starts getting honest about themselves, when they start seeing themselves the way that they really are, you know what? They can start seeing revival. And I will tell you, the basis to all, the foundation to all communication starts with an honest tongue. You have to be honest with one another in order to be communicating with one another. The second thing here, it says, truth is imperative in formulating a relationship. You know, in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, let me just read these to you. This is a very interesting passage. 1 John 1, it says this: if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now listen to verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have, anyone know how the rest of the verse goes? We have fellowship one with another. Hey, you know what? The foundation to all fellowship, the foundation to all communication is, first of all, being honest, is being truthful with one another. If you're lying, if you're coming in and you're living the fake life, if you are not true with what you're telling the story, there is not the proper communication between a husband and wife. If there is not honesty, there is not a relationship and there is not communication. We see the importance of that. It says we lie for two main reasons. Number one, the fear of punishment. Hey, you remember the story in the Bible in Genesis about Abraham and Sarah, and they had the famine, so they went over to where King Abimelech was, and Abraham says, Sarah, you tell King that you are my sister. And, you know, we're related anyhow, so, you know, thou shalt not bear false witness type of thing. But, you know, that's okay. But just tell him you're my sister, because otherwise he's going to kill me. You know, it's interesting. Abimelech had a terrible relationship with Abraham. Matter of fact, until it was revealed in a dream, it was just, and Abimelech realized, man, this isn't, I can't take this woman as my wife. She's already married. And God revealed it. Abraham and Abimelech's relationship was terrible until there was honesty. Hey, look at Jacob. Oh, what an incredibly terrible relationship he had with his dad, Isaac, because of dishonesty. Because you cannot have a relationship if there's a dishonest spirit going on between. Ananias and Sapphira could not have a relationship with Peter, could not have a relationship with the disciples because of their lie. Be careful in your conversation not to embellish, exaggerate, distort, deceive, or conceal truth. All of those things will stop communication, and God will not put favor on that relationship. Years ago, I was speaking at a junior week of camp, and I have thought about this story many times, and in studying for this message, I looked at that story in a different light than I've ever looked at it before. I remember I was speaking at this junior week of camp, so they were 8 to 12-year-olds. And I'm telling you, this was probably 30 years ago, but I've never forgotten this story. This little boy was from the very first day kind of an outcast from his cabin. I mean, nobody in his cabin liked him. And the reason is this kid lied all week long. And he would lie about everything that he had. He had a motorcycle, he had a trampoline, he had a swimming pool. He said, and I remember walking around, and I'm telling you, this kid's mouth was going all the time, and it was constantly, he was talking about all the things. Of course, at that point, we didn't know they were lies. On Friday of this camp, they would invite the parents to come up. And as long as I live, and this was like 30 years ago, I will never forget this. I'm standing over by the tetherball thing that the kids are playing, and the parents are coming up for the night, you know, and all the kids are as clean as they could get, you know, for the week, and they're all waiting. And this kid's parents come up, and they come over to the child. And I will never forget, faster than the child could get to that kid's parents, every boy in that cabin ran over to that kid's parents. Hey, is it true you got a motor? Is it true he's got a motor? I don't remember the kid's name, you know, Scotty or whatever it was, you know. Is it true Scotty's got a trampoline? Is it true? And I'll never forget. I just felt, now, up until a couple days ago in studying for this message, I felt so bad for the kid, you know. I just went like, oh, man. Because, you know, the parents, they didn't say yes or no. They just looked over at their son like, wow. What did you tell these kids all week long? Now, here's what I had always thought. I had always thought the kid didn't have good friends, therefore he lied for approval. He couldn't make relationships, so he thought if he lied, he would get approval. But you know what? I don't believe that's true. I believe the kid lied, and because he lied, he didn't have relationships. And I want to tell you something. We think sometimes, we lie for two reasons, either to get out of punishment or to get some kind of approval. But I want to tell you, when you put untruth in a relationship, the communication of what God really wants between two individuals stops at that point. That's why it says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We're together. If we can't be honest with one another, who can we be honest with? Communication stops when things are not true any longer. If you embellish, if you exaggerate, if you deceive, if you conceal, it immediately squelches the communication. So number one principle about communication is, number one, you got to be honest. By the way, when did Lucifer's relationship and communication with God the Father stop? When did Lucifer's relationship with God stop? When Lucifer believed a lie. When he believed that he could be like the Most High God, guess what? His communication with God stopped. And friend, I want you to know, the basis, the foundation to all communication is honesty. You know, there may be something right now between a husband and a wife. There may be a financial situation. There may be a moral situation. And you say, there's no way. I'll tell you this. If she ever finds out, if he ever finds out, that will stop communication. I beg to differ with you. I believe that that relationship can never be what God wants it to be until there is honesty between two spouses. Between, you know what, you may be a son or daughter in here. And you say, man, if my parents ever find that out, that will stop communication. Can I tell you, first of all, you don't have communication right now. You don't have it right now. It is coming honest and clean that begins the relationship. I have been in many of a counseling situation that when the truth finally came out, then you could see the relationship. By the way, whether it was with a teacher and a student, whether it was between a husband and a wife, whether it was between a child and a parent, or a parent and a child, as soon as the truth came out, it was amazing. Now we can communicate. Now we can start putting this whole thing back together. Number one Bible principle of communication, foundational, is number one, is be honest. Number two principle, keep current. Keep current. Oh, this is so foundational to biblical communication. Look at verse 26, and you have to put verse 27. But by the way, look at verse 26, ends with a colon. And I think a lot of times people like just to preach on verse 27, but it's really hooked up to verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now, I've never worded it just the way that I said it in A. So I want you to get this because I've always put too many words to it. I finally wrote it down. That's the one good thing about getting all the things in the handouts. You finally, become, very concise in your statements. Listen to this because this is so important. After 30 years of pastoring, the unresolved issues in any relationship will break down communication in a present situation because the past becomes the focus. All right, now here's what happens. If you do not keep current, then you try to communicate. I tell you this, I can remember sitting in counseling sessions with a husband and a wife, and in 30 seconds, we've gone back 10 years. We were dealing with one issue, and I say 30 seconds, I am telling you, within 15 to 20 seconds, we just went back 10 years. And I'm going, whoa. Let's stay kind of focused on what we're dealing with right now, okay? But you know what I've learned? They can't stay focused on what they're dealing with right now because they've never resolved the past. They've never kept current. So every argument brings in the entire past with it. So when you begin to discuss an issue that really should not be a big deal at all, it's a huge deal because you're bringing in weeks, months, years, and decades of material. So you cannot deal with the issue. The Bible says, be angry. Let me talk to you about that for just a moment. Anger is the emotional energy of displeasure given to solve a problem. Anger in and of itself, when God created us in His image, He gave us the ability to have anger. Anger in and of itself is not sinful. Now the Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. There's definitely the wrong kind of anger. Most of us display that. But anger in and of itself, anger is the emotional energy of displeasure that helps you, to solve a problem. In other words, you get out of the car and you got a flat tire. And we got a flat tire on K Street the other day. Okay, well, when it happened, Luke and I and Marilyn didn't get out and we start beating on the tire. Oh, man, I can't believe we're going to. Well, we're wasting our energy to get the spare out. You get what I'm saying? I mean, the energy that God gave us to change the tire, if we're going to start hitting things and we're going to start swearing and we're going to start doing this or doing that, we're using the energy that God gave us to solve the problem. Now, the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You take the emotional energy of displeasure and you say, you know what? We got to resolve this. We need to talk about this. You need to share with me again what you're feeling. We need to go back. We got to take care of it. Communication that is not kept current. Well, I tell you, the only way to have communication is that you keep it current in their life. When your anger is used for yourself and not surrendered, it will shut down communication between you and others. Labor quickly to be right and get right with others, or the devil gets a foothold in the relationship. And that's why that verse follows that. If you let that foster, if you don't deal with that issue, you were hurt. This hurt. And you do not go back and you do not get that thing taken care of right away, you're letting Satan get in your life. You're letting a foothold come in. One of the most important things that you will hear tonight from this message is this. When you have a problem with another individual, it matters not if it's someone in your Sunday school class, it matters not if it's in your family or in this church or at work, you quickly have to deal with it then. But by the way, let me encourage you to take your Bible and turn to one passage, Matthew chapter 5. I don't know if that's in your notes or not, but you have to see it. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now look at verse 25. agree with thine adversary. Everyone in this room, what's the next word? Agree with thine adversary when? Quickly, while thou art in the way with him. Lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into the prison. There's your devil coming back in verse 27 of Ephesians 4. And verse 26, verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Hey, you know what? If you're not going to deal with it quickly, you are going to suffer so many consequences. One of the basic biblical principles to communication is, number one, be honest. Number two, keep current. Number three. Now, number three, at first I thought, what in the world is verse 28 doing in this passage? Because from verse 25 to verse 32, it is all about communication. There is, in every verse, it's either speaking or some way communicating. Then you get this verse 28 in there. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And I was thinking, well, now I want you to know, the principle I'm about to give you, I do not think that verse 28 is like the greatest, strongest verse in the Bible to prove this. But I also do believe it's found here. And I want you to see that. Principle number three, help others. Help others. If you struggle with communication, let me encourage you to do something. Start helping others. It is amazing how that opens the door to communication. Pastor, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but it is a lot. Now, I have never been a Jerry Furso type of soul winner, though I should be, though we all should be. I struggle with it, but I have a burden to do it. I have noticed in the last couple years, it is so much harder for me to witness on airplanes than it used to be. I mean, people get into airplanes now. They put those earbuds in. They go into another world. And it's like, hey, you can't talk to you. I mean, you know, they got the things on. You cannot talk. And just the way the culture is, people are not near. I can remember almost every time I went somewhere, my wife would even come and it's like, you don't ever talk about where you go speaking. You always talk about the people that you met on the plane and who you witnessed to. I said, I know, it was great. You know what? That has not been true anymore. That is so hard. But I have found something. Talk about communication. Do you know I take, and my wife says, why are you taking all those snacks? I said, Marilee, I'm taking it because they're not for me. I'm going to give it to them. Oh, yeah, right. I really do. I pack a little stuff, and I take snacks with me on the airline. Because, by the way, people will take buds out for the right kind of snacks. You know that? They'll talk to you. And I have found, you know, you can't communicate with them. There is no way to communicate to this person until you take those cherry chocolate clusters from Costco out and you say, hey, would you like one of these? You did one of those. You get little packages. Now, they like things packaged real well. They don't want something that you've put your fingers all over. You want a bite of the sandwich? You know, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. But you know what? If you get the right package, snacks, people will talk to you again. Well, you know what? I think there's a principle there in communication. I think there is a way that when you show love, when you show care, when you do something for others, people will listen to what you have to say. And you know, we've heard the phrase, man, you guys know the phrase better than me. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. But I will tell you, once they know how much you care, you can really communicate with them. You really can. And I think this is a great verse. You know, we always think of the verse about stealing, and it absolutely says that. But you know, the purpose of not stealing is the end of the verse. It says, let him that stole steal no more. And we use that verse, you know, if you have someone that's a kleptomaniac or somebody that's in that sin, you always go to this verse and say, this is one of the verses you need to memorize. And it is. It's a great one. But really, the purpose of the verse is at the end. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands. Yeah, that'll be good. Now, they shouldn't be stealing. They should be working with. But you still haven't got to the end of the verse yet. The thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. That's the purpose of the verse. The purpose of the verse is to help others. And you know what? I think it fits fabulously in this passage. Now, I'm going to share this with you. When I go to camps, many times at the end of the week, I'll have camp directors and counselors say, you know, Brother Shetler, you are the best speaker we've had all summer long. But I'm telling you, it is not anywhere near because I'm the best preacher that they have all summer long. But there is something that I do. I really connect with the kids I'm with at the camp. I try to do everything I can. And I remember it wasn't last summer. It was the summer before I spoke at the Wilds in North Carolina. And they did something on Tuesday night. It was this little gauntlet thing where you ran down the gauntlet and the guys would throw these little rubber dodgeball things at you. And all you had to do was take the water that you had in your hand and dump it in the bucket, okay? Well, I'm thinking, this is a pretty safe one for me. I think I can handle this one, you know? I can run the gauntlet, let them throw a couple, you know, these are high school boys. What are they going to do? You know? I may spill my water, but I'm definitely going to make it to the other. I didn't. I'm running halfway down, and there's a guy that throws one of those little dodgeball things right in my eye. It knocked my feet out from underneath me. My water fell out. The guys thought that was the funniest thing they had ever seen. I was so embarrassed that a high school boy, come to find out, the boy went on to college and he is a pitcher in college. I do want you to know that. And when you saw the guy, you went like, what are you doing at this camp, man? What are you doing here? The guy looked like he was 20, you know? But anyways, he knocked me out. But here's the thing. That night, when I got up to speak, I had a black eye. I did and I mean, I never had a group of teenagers speaking. I mean, I had them in the palm of my, they thought I was the coolest speaker in the world because I had a, and a guy, a camper gave the speaker a black eye. Now, you know, what's the point of that whole thing? I'll tell you what it is. In order to communicate, you got to know who you're communicating to. You got to help them. You got to become a part of their lives. If you say, man, I can't communicate with my kids. Well, maybe you ought to get in your kids' lives. Maybe you ought to start helping your children. Man, you know, my husband and I, we can't get along. Maybe you ought to help your husband. Maybe you ought to be their helpmeet. Now, there's a novel idea. That's another biblical principle. Maybe, by the way, men, maybe you ought to help your wife. It is amazing. You know what? She doesn't want to talk anymore. We don't have any communication. Why don't you wash the dishes one time and see if there's not communication after that? I'm telling you, this was a good one. I like this one. Principle number 3, help others. By the way, Abigail brought a gift. My last point under this is generosity may tear down the walls of silence. And they really will. You know, Abigail brought some things for David, and it settled him down. And Abigail was able to communicate to David. I'm sure David wanted to get into those raisins and everything. And I think that helped as well. Let's go to principle number 4. Principle number 4, build up, don't tear down. Build up, don't tear down. Well, verse 29, when we were reading through this, you probably said, oh, he's going to preach on verse 20. Well, surely it's kind of the summit of the mountain on communication here. There's no doubt about it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Build up. Don't tear down. Let's look at this for real quickly. Number 1, what leads to corrupt communication? I think there's 3 things that lead to corrupt communication. Number 1, attacking a person instead of a problem. Attacking the person. You are a jerk. You slob. You never clean up. You know what? If you attack the person and not the problem, communication ends at that point. Anything you want to teach that person, anything you want to teach that employee, anything that, if you're going to attack the person instead of the problem, my friend, I will tell you, you will not communicate with them. Because as soon as it's a personal attack, an ad hominem, and as soon as you personally attack that person's integrity or character, yeah, but they are a slob, they are a jerk, they are the, let me tell you this, if you want to communicate with them, you cannot attack the person. You got to attack the problem. Now, this next one was worth the price for entrance tonight, okay? Here it is. Number 2, this is what leads to corrupt communication. Using 100% statements. Using 100% statements. It amazes me. When two people are arguing and somebody says, you never do that. You know, you're always this way. At that moment, communication stops. Because the other person begins to, no, that's not true. 11 months ago, I did do that once. That is not true. That is not never. It is not never. That is, I don't always do that. There was 4 years ago I did. I didn't do that. You know what? As soon as you put a 100% statement in a conversation in anything you're discussing, communication stops at that point. By the way, whenever you say that, then people go, like, oh, all the time? I mean, never, always? And you no longer are communicating. It is corrupt communication using 100%. By the way, go through a day and try not to say a 100% statement sometime. And by the way, if you think, oh, I can do that pretty good, well, then wait till we get to B and see if you can do that one. Okay, number three, comparing people and situations. You know, the good old days. You know, there's a whole book in the Bible that not only did communication stop, the rebuilding of the temple stopped because of comparison. And the cheerleader of the Bible, Haggai, I mean, he's the cheerleader. He had to get a whole younger generation, the older generation, and it don't look like it to Solomon's. That sure doesn't look like Solomon. Let's just go back and build our own houses. I'm telling you, man, this is not what the good old days under Solomon and all that. And those guys didn't even live under Solomon, you know, but it doesn't matter. But it was the good old days or whatever. And Haggai says, stop your comparing and get back to work on the house of God. And don't, you know, corrupt. And they put such a wet blanket on the whole thing. And Haggai, I had to get them going. But comparing people and situations. All right, what leads to constructive communication? Give hope and encouragement. Give hope and encouragement. And whenever you're talking to someone, believe in it. Believe that God can do it. You know, I put down 1 Corinthians 13, 7, because it's so good. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. You know, people want to know. They are so discouraged. It's like, is there hope? I think this is the constructive communication of a leadership conference. When I came, after I left leadership conference, first time I came, there's hope. I believe something can happen in our church. So you know what? We could do this. That is constructive communication. Giving scriptures, that is very good. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Whenever you can give a scriptural encouragement, a scriptural thing, boy, I don't ever write a letter that I don't put a scripture reference on it. I don't know. I want to always get the Word of God. The Word of God will give hope. The Word of God is the center and the object of our faith. Give hope and encouragement. Give scriptures. Only saying those things that are, and this is the one. Only saying those things that are true, necessary, and kind. Now, I almost didn't preach this message tonight because of this stupid statement. You know, this is a tough one. Only say those, go one day and only say those things that are true, necessary, and kind. Another reason why I'm preaching this message is when I was in Hawaii, I said two things to two different people that were just not right. And I had to write letters to two individuals in the last couple days back in Hawaii about something that I said. You want to know what it was? I'm not telling you. I'm not going to tell you. But I had to write. You know, and I thought about this simple principle. Jim, okay, well, it was true. It was true. Was it? No, it wasn't necessary. Was it kind? No, it wasn't kind. It was true. But it wasn't necessary, and it wasn't. And by the way, sometimes things are true, and sometimes things are necessary. But make sure they're kind. Make sure it's kind. Try to go through a day one time. That's let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Build up and don't tear down. And principle number five, this is absolutely vital for communication. Principle number five, forgive often. Forgive often. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The last series of messages I preached at First Baptist was a series of messages that from the day that I announced my resignation to come here to the Sunday before Easter, I preached a series of messages on the word relationship. And I took the word and made it an acrostic. And for each letter, I had principles of how to develop relationships. Because I felt that that's what our church need. I feel like we're in the right direction. I felt that First Baptist was vibrant. We were seeing people get saved, but they needed to connect and they needed to develop relationships. And especially through the transition that they were about to go through, I felt that that was very important. For R, I said this the very first Sunday that I preached. I said, R stands for reconciliation. Because until you can learn how to reconcile, you'll never develop relationships. You forgive, until you have been forgiven, you cannot, because any relationship that you will ever go into will be with a sinner. And that sinner at some point in that relationship will hurt you. There will be at some point where communication will be strained and you have to learn reconciliation. Well, I think this isn't like my favorite passage to preach on forgiveness, but I do believe this is the core basis to all forgiveness. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I do believe this is the key to forgiveness. The reason why I can forgive anyone of what they do to me is because what God forgave me through Jesus Christ. And I can always forgive anyone for what they've done. I can always get the communication flowing again because I know what I did to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ forgave me of my sin. I can forgive them of whatever they've said or whatever they've done. And when we can forgive often, communication just is free. Communication just opens up. When you know, because you're gonna, in any kind of relationship, you're gonna say something that sooner or later is gonna hurt. You didn't mean it. I tried my hardest to be true, necessary, and kind, and it still hurt them. And that's gonna happen. But if there can be forgiveness, it is amazing how communication can begin to open up. Well, I was in Hawaii, and there was a man in the church that wanted to take me to Pearl Harbor. So we went. I'd already gone, but I think the man really wanted to take me, and that wasn't one of the guys I had to write a letter to. But anyways, so we went to Pearl Harbor, and you know, as many times as I've heard that story, and I've only been there three times, but the times I've been there, it amazes me what happened that morning on December 7th, 1941. There was miscommunication. They knew, they saw it, they reported it. They said, I'm telling you, there's a lot of planes coming. And somewhere the communication dropped off. And that communication ends up being the worst decimated day in American history of lives that were killed. And it really all because of a lack of communication. And I want to tell you this. What we gave tonight in Ephesians chapter 4 are just basics to communicating with other people. How are you doing? Are you honest? Do you need to go back to someone and say, hey, I want to tell you, I embellished a story yesterday. I exaggerated. I wasn't accurate with these numbers. I want to just come back. I just want to tell you that I was not honest. You won't believe what'll change. Oh, no, if I say that, if I go back and if I tell my wife tonight what I did, if I tell my husband what I spent, oh, man, it's just going to be a terrible night. You try it, and you see if honesty doesn't open because you don't have communication right now. And then keep current. Man, keep current on what's going on in your life. And then let me encourage you. To don't tear down people. Let's live our life to build people up and to encourage them. Let's help others and let's forgive often. And it'll be amazing the communicator that we'll be. You know, Brother Shetler, some of you guys that get up and preach all the time, you guys are just amazing communicators. No, no, no. The best communicators in the world are those that take Ephesians 4, 25 through 32 and live it out. Those are the greatest communicators the world knows. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How many would say tonight, Brother Jim, my communication, you know, I can talk well in front of people. I'm really clever and I'm humorous. But you know, Jim, I'm really not a good communicator. There are things that were said tonight that the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Maybe it's the 100% statements, by the way. Maybe it's to help other people. But I want to encourage you tonight. Maybe just to take a moment. maybe just to come down to an altar and say, God, I want to take the biblical principles of communication and I want to apply them in my life. I want to do what God's word says in the area of communication. And I'm struggling in 1, 2, 3, 4, or all 5 of these areas. But I want to repent. I want to change, God. You know my heart. I want to get honest with you. And Lord, you know what? The problem isn't the people I work with. It's not my family. It's not my spouse. I have not been the communicator that you want me to be. And Lord, tonight, I want to say, and I want to make a commitment, let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, let me encourage you just to put a prayer to that. You can do it in your seat. You can kneel down where you are. You can come down front and just say, Dear God, tonight, I want to be the communicator that you want me to, in Jesus' name.